You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. There it is. Boy, that I love that music. Just kind of gets you ready for big things are happening, and they certainly are today. God is moving, and
Amen.
Spirit of God is going to be releasing tremendous edification, revelation into your ears today. So do not leave. Do not turn this dial away. Even 89.9, stay here. Well, I'm David Frank, who are one of your hosts, and I'm welcoming you to the front line. And we talked about the most venerable, Ed Skiba.
I think it's the most vulnerable.
Vulnerable it could be.
I'm not sure, right. If it's venerable.
One of our co-hosts, Ed, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Another beautiful South Florida morning. I just had a call from the White House.
Did you really?
Yeah, they wanted to know what I thought about Red China. I told them it's great, long as it doesn't clash with the tablecloth.
Right. Ed's always in demand, people. And after the little point of interior decoration, we're going to go to Ann Limhoko.
Good morning, everyone.
Good to have you with us today.
It's so great to be here. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Let us rejoice and
be glad in it. Yes. Amen, amen. And would you please introduce our guests today, since you know them real well?
Yeah, you know what? I'm so excited to introduce my pastors, Pastor Todd and Jan. And actually, this is my home church that the Lord called me all the way from Chicago.
Whoa.
And they are the pastors of Revive Church in Stuart, Florida. And that church has been in existence since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
After a radical encounter with the Holy Spirit, they desired to provide a place for people to have an encounter with God that is understandable and yet exciting and dynamic. And God gave them the message of putting the Word of God and the Spirit together and to have an encounter.
Yes.
And I'm just so blessed they were able to be here today. And I think it's going to be a great hour of wonderful Spirit-led conversation.
I have no doubt. No
yeah.
doubt. Well, Pastor Todd and Jan, thank you for being with us today.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
And there's a lot you have to share. I was going to ask you to, I was able to review that YouTube video you did concerning how God moved in your life to... and moved you in the spirit to start Revive. So, but others haven't seen that. Now you can tell them how they can find that. But I would love for you to start by sharing out of that, the content of that video, how God got you at Revive.
Yeah, I think the story, elongated, made very, very short, is grew up in the Church of Christ in Baptist churches in a very conservative, fundamental side of Christianity. Mm-hmm. In 2013, went to Bogota, Colombia for a worldwide pastors conference. While there, got baptized in the Spirit, came back and changed everything, including the church we were in, who said, we're not really interested in you being here. So we started Revive Church, and God has been amazing in what he's done in that. And you may have heard it from Ann just a few minutes ago, but the two things that are the foundation of the church are we're putting the Word of God and the Spirit of God back together.
Amen.
And what that means is, in the U.S. specifically, there's a very fundamental Bible-based side of Christianity, and then there's a very charismatic Pentecostal side of Christianity, and they tend to be very polarized.
Yes.
To where it's very difficult to incorporate things like the gifts in a church and still be reasonable. And so we are digging into the Word to find the power that we have. We're demonstrating the power based on the Word.
Amen. Now, this sounds very much like the first century church.
Amen. Acts 2 church, right?
Acts 2 church. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. You know that.
I would think that would be our goal, is to be the church that God originally designed us all to be.
Yes.
Amen. Absolutely. From this, and this is Revive Church began. Now, I think your first location was on Johnson Street in Stuart, right?
Actually, our first location was the worst church location on the planet.
Oh, really?
We were across the Roosevelt Bridge on Buck Hendry, which if you turn right on Buck Hendry, is nothing more than storage units.
Right,
and
right.
our website actually said, go down Buck Hendry until you run into the dumpsters and take a look. And we were in about a 4,500 square foot renovated storage area, and we were there for 6 months before we moved over to Johnson.
And that, you know, and even as you say that, and it is kind of comical, but at the same time, you know, God can build a church anywhere.
Yep.
And you started there, and then you moved to Johnson Street?
We started in Buck Hendry, we moved to Johnson Street, and recently we moved out to Old Kansas Avenue on 95.
Which you can see from, as you're going south on I-95.
You can, just south of Canner, on the west side of 95, you'll see a white building with blue trim, and that's us.
And but you're also now looking for a larger location, right?
Actually, we have purchased land.
Okay.
It's at the intersection of 714 and I-95.
Oh, wow. Now, that tells me that what you're doing, God is blessing the whole package. God is that movement of the Spirit. And I want people to know how they can reach you. We'll get to that in a minute. But what is God doing at Revive Church that you continually have to move to bigger places?
I think several things. First of all, when the name came about, it was a double entendre. It was reviving in a church, having revival in the church itself, but then to revive the church as a whole in the U.S. And part of that revival is bringing that charismatic and that fundamentalist side back together so we could be the Acts 2 church and see what we were doing that didn't make sense. And what I mean by that is... understanding the entire charismatic side of things from a Bible base. Now, when we started, we called it herding cats because you had a whole group of fundamentalists coming saying, what does it mean that this guy got baptized in the Spirit? And then you had this whole charismatic group coming and saying, hey, we've got a new place to express our freedoms. And what ended up happening was the charismatic side was scaring the fundamentalist away from the Holy Spirit with their freedom. And so we're meeting with the fundamentalist every Sunday saying, hey, some of what they're doing is good and it's in the Bible. And we're meeting with the charismatic saying, you want them to know the Holy Spirit, but you're scaring them away with your freedom. And so you got to consider that in what you want to have the freedom to do.
Amen. Amen. And there is, when you speak in that way, and I totally resonate with it. I'm an evangelical kind of, I mean, you know, if you look at it that way,
we call ourselves Bapticostals.
But it is, when you get into the Word of God and you study, if you look specifically for what God, first of all, in the Old Testament, it's there as well, the issue of unity with God. And then you find in the New Testament that theme carries over, and Paul does a lot of writing about the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians especially, chapter 12, I think, where he begins talking about the body of Christ. And when you read that without, if you filter it through just a biblical understanding of unity, you see, if you look at that and understand what God wants the church to be, and then you step back and look at the picture of modern Christianity all across the world, you see there's a disconnect, because you don't see anything about denominationalism in the Bible when it comes to God now, God's Word speaking about unity. So, having said that, What I'm hearing from you at this point, and I'm just asking you to respond to this, is that you're working on a biblical imperative in the church that has to do with unity with God and with each other in the body of Christ.
I think clearly what is a distraction, if you will, to the church as a whole, and I'm going to say especially in the United States, because I'm not finding this to be true when I go to other countries, but especially in the United States, the decision to separate, the decision to argue Scripture, the decision to be separate in our cessationism or in our charismatic world, all of that decision does nothing more than pull everybody to one side or the other.
Right.
Instead of coming together and realizing our country's in a mess and we're the answer to the mess, and we're not doing anything because we're still bickering with each other.
And it's that bickering that kept us from addressing in unity the issues, the sin issues that America is now having to repent of.
Amen.
Yeah. We're in the same boat here.
Yeah.
You're with the right group of people here because David and I have been fighting that for years. Mm-hmm. The devil doesn't care if we go to church. He wants everybody to go to church. As long as I go to different churches, they'll be fine. And we've been fighting that forever. We're in a we're involved in a charismatic, liturgical, evangelical type church.
All right.
We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We also believe to some degree in liturgy, and liturgy meaning works of the people. That's the literal meaning of the word liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
But we're seeing the same thing, the separation in from our side of people because of, oh, you know what they believe? Well, look at that. Look at what they're wearing. Look at this. Look at what they say. Yeah, look at how they say. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
There's only one God. We've got to bring that back in the midst of us. And what you're doing is fantastic.
There are definitely, we could spend all day talking about the theologies and the doctrines and the dispensations that have created all of this difference.
Yes.
But the truth is, we're either going to come together and recognize we're hurting ourselves and our country by not coming together.
Yes.
Or we're going to continue this path of allowing the enemy to just run rampant because the church isn't doing anything about it.
The advice I like to give to my I'm sorry, David, I didn't mean, sorry, you had your finger up.
Yes,
the advice I like to give my people is people don't care about your theology or your philosophy or your theosophy or any of your opinions. What they're looking at is your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I always talk about pastors in five ways. They understand the word, they read the word, they preach the word. Those are the big things that most pastors do. But the other two that they usually miss is they believe the word and they live the word.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the most vital issue that we have to get across to our pastors in this country. Mm-hmm. Until you do that, people are not going to believe a word you say until you're demonstrating the truth of God's word.
There you go.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And the one truth that sustains me in this season of chaos is that when God wants something, it gets done.
Yes.
Now, you know, and of course, then knowing that, you know, God will say to me, now, David, you know, your sense of timing isn't really very good. So I've got a perfect timing here. So, yeah, I get on board with that, and I want to see changes. I want to see the first century church emerge everywhere. But God says, you know, I've got a time. I'm doing this. You know, just relax. Keep praying. Keep doing what I tell you to do. But the point is, and I, first of all, I want to say to our listeners, some of you may have gotten up in arms about what we've been saying thus far. Now, if you have been, let me tell you, we are not being disparaging of the church. We are just being truthful about it's a diagnostic of where the church is today. And if you would step back and open your eyes and really take a good look, you would see where the church is. But if you are a student of the Word of God, you would also know God is jealous for his people and that he will not leave us in the condition we're in.
Right.
And this is why we're not the only, I think we're a prophetic voice, but not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're saying today is a call to the church to examine where you are in relationship to the Word of God. And then align yourselves with the Word of God. And in the process of doing it, if you're far out of alignment, there's some repenting that has to go on.
I find great hope in the church today.
Yes.
And I'll put it in kind of maybe easy to package terms. If you look at the 1900s and what happened with the charismatic revivals occurred with Azusa Street and those kind of things, man, that created a massive division. But part of what that massive division did was make people question what the Scripture says.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing more and more people be open to interpreting the Bible for what it says and walking in that. And I think there is a unity coming.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I believe it is.
Planting. I definitely believe that.
It's seed planting.
Yep. And I want to be on God's side of that.
Amen.
You know, and if I'm not, well, he's going to do it anyway. But there'll be some suffering at my end. And we'll maybe pick up on that later. I don't know. Let's take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Do you know?
know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to The Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Well, there's our very active and exciting music, our theme music for this program. You're listening to The Frontline, WCNO Palm City. And we have as our guests today Pastor Todd and Jan Mozingo. Pastor Todd, the senior pastor at Revive Church in Stuart, church on the move, a church, I think, replicating the best of the first century church in the 21st century. And we've been talking about what God is doing there. I'm just going to let Pastor Todd, you were where you were before. Get back to that.
I think we were talking about the fact that there's great hope in the church today.
Yes.
And maybe simply put, the issues of the day are becoming so great that the church is now recognizing we have to rise up in some way and represent God in our country, in our government, and put down the pettiness of our differences in Scripture and say there's a greater cause for the church at large. And I think right now our government, I think our country, I think our moral standards, I think the insanity that's going on in the woke culture is enough for the church to finally say, why are we bickering with each other? Why don't we come together and see if we can get back on a God track for our country?
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's a point I wanted for us to discuss, because I have been very impressed with the posture of Revived Church as it comes to being patriotic, you know, and considering that, you know, if you look at America and you look at Israel, in the history of the world, we're the only two nations that have a covenant with God.
Amen.
And Americans, though, for the last 30 years, maybe more, have not gotten that in their civics classes in public school, even in some private schools. But it's such an essential, I mean, it's a foundational reality. How do you perceive, what is God doing in you personally, both of you, and in your congregation to awaken your people, but also beyond that, America?
Yeah, go ahead, Jan.
What's going on?
You want me to jump in?
I do. Go ahead. Okay.
This is your thing, Jan.
Okay. Well, one thought that I had earlier and I kind of want to go back to was really what got us here, and which is our testimony.
Mm-hmm.
We've been married 22 years, and we've been in several churches kind of, you know, looking for what the path God had for us. The last two churches that we planted, this is our third church plant, third and final church plant.
Amen. God willing. I hear that.
But they,
I don't know if God heard that.
Yeah, well, please.
We keep saying it to
him. Yeah. Yeah. We'll be doing this the rest of our lives. But anyway, they both exploded in growth, growing from like 40 people to 750 or 850 in just 2 to 3 years. Literally, so people were coming, tons of people, hundreds of people were getting saved, and it was wonderful. On the outside, it looked great, and it was awesome. But we felt like there was something missing. And so our last year at our last church, we started praying desperately for what that missing piece was. And that is, I think, what precipitated the trip to Bogota, Colombia. We went when we were invited. We wanted to see what would the church look like if every country was represented. All the pastors from all over the world worshiping together. And the presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong and powerful. It rocked us. It changed us. It literally catapulted us out of our church.
Yep.
So I have to preface anything I say with this, because it was no longer normal for us. We had a new normal. Mm-hmm. So I think the church... I don't know if it's a kick in the pants or what, but the church needs a new normal.
They
cannot continue to do things the way they have been, or they will continue to get the same. Right now, we're talking about church and government, and the church right now looks like the government, equally divided, and false doctrines, things that look good and sound good, like just be loving, love your neighbor, feed your neighbor. All these things are wonderful, but if it's not the balanced gospel, some of them are 180 degree twist of the scripture, and that's where the enemy loves to have us. He has us with a lot of things twisted. I'm not saying we're perfect or doing everything right. We're trying to be on the path, but one of the things that clearly came out of that, and we saw, it was part of our testimony in going to Colombia. They had gone from, I believe, 3% Protestant in Bogota to 30% Protestant
in 10
years.
Wow. And that's 2 million people coming into the Protestant church in 10 years.
Powerful movement of the Spirit.
Right. Yeah. So we wanted to know what happened. They got rid of all the guerrillas and the people that were holding them hostage.
Cartel,
all the things that were holding them hostage. And so we had saw the powerful work of the church. It was all the churches getting together, whatever denomination. We've lived in cities and participated all over the world in places where the church is unified.
Hallelujah.
So we do know what it looks like.
Yep.
And I think when the church does that, I believe that what we brought back was kind of a governmental mantle and just a deep desire and need to go out there and infiltrate and get back in the schools. And when COVID revealed so much, that's when we started going to these county commission meetings and seeing what was happening. There were threats of closing down the churches. A Florida pastor, Rodney Howard Brown, was arrested in Tampa. We saw things happening. We got involved, and we, and the school board as well, we saw how messed up things were and where the school was at and the doctrines they were teaching the children. So we could not be involved. And you can interrupt me at any point, but the result of that was seeing, what, 4 or 5 people elected out of our church in the last election. We have, from our church, 3 of the school board members are from our church, and we have another that that's a strong believer that will be getting in there. But our people see the value, and they're getting in there and infiltrating.
The idea that many Christians have that the church should not be involved in government is erroneous.
Yes.
Because, and I will go back to the founding fathers.
Yes.
Who were believers.
Yes.
And listened to the Holy Spirit, who gave them everything they needed, including the content of the founding documents, and on top of that, of course, the Constitution of the United States, which is under attack today.
Yep.
And some of the people who support the Constitution are under attack. So, having said that, as a preamble, I'm just going to throw this out, and I'm going to say, listeners, listen, if you're in your car, tighten up your seatbelt. If you're at home, sit down and put something weighty on your lap, because what I want to do is integrate the day of Pentecost, which God, Jesus, said he would give the church his Holy Spirit, for a reason, and it was a specific type of giving. It wasn't, you know, and we know in baptism the Holy Spirit comes on us. That's good baptismal theology. Comes within us. But there's also the covering of the Holy Spirit, we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
That came on the disciples on that day of Pentecost. It was not a one-off, by the way.
Right.
It was intended to be something that every disciple of Christ who met Jesus and received him as Lord and Savior would also willingly receive, to have then the covering of the Holy Spirit. Why? To do the work of the church.
Yeah.
Not to do your work as you think it should be done, but to do the work of the church.
So I think what a lot of believers miss, and I missed this for years.
Me too.
Until it jumped off the page and slapped me. You have in John chapter 20, the first day of the resurrection. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Christ is risen from the dead. Okay. And we can talk about what happened during those three days, during his crucifixion and between the resurrection. But John chapter 20 very specifically says on the first day of the week, on that very day, when you get down to about verse 17 or 18, mm-hmm. he met with the disciples, he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So they had the Holy Spirit on the first day of the resurrection.
Amen.
Then Scripture tells us that Jesus stayed with them for 40 days mm-hmm. and showed him himself in the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then he takes them to the time of his ascension mm-hmm. and says, listen, I need you to stay in Jerusalem because mm-hmm. not many days from now, what mm-hmm. you have been promised,
Amen.
John told you I would baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He'll come upon with you with power not many days from now. So many of us were raised in the belief that when you get saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But that's biblical evidence that they already had the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. before they got baptized in the Holy Spirit as Jesus promised them they would. Then you go later in Acts and you see Cornelius and his family getting baptized mm-hmm. by the Spirit, getting saved, getting water baptized. You mm-hmm. see them meeting with Paul and them meeting with the group that said, hey, have you even heard there's a Holy Spirit? No, we haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So they were already believers, it says, but hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. So I think the thing that my upbringing left out was, yes, I am sealed for the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely, unequivocally, without doubt, I have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes.
Yes.
And when that comes, you are empowered, and you are empowered to do the work of the church.
Amen.
And that is so we do not lean on our own understanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
good.
But we turn to God. I mean, that's scriptural, too, and that's because, you know, and I'll admit, for the longest time, and I met the Lord in 1976, but it was not until the late 1980s that I came into an understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and mm-hmm. received that. What a change. What a difference. And
it's
I've
amazing.
Been pastoring for several years.
It makes
years.
You more bold when you have that.
Yeah.
You can receive a new credit card in the mail with $15,000 limit on it. It mm-hmm. doesn't work till you activate it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go. That's good. It's a good way to put it, Ed. Yeah.
Jan?
Yes, you mentioned early on about demonstrating the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we do at Revive. We demonstrate the kingdom. And we want all the people activated in all the mm-hmm. gifts.
Yes.
We want them to know the power that is within them through Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the authority they have
Amen.
To control
Amen.
Their environment, because Jesus, he paid it all, not just our sins,
Amen.
But all the activation of all the miracles that we can do now. He said before he left, greater things will you do. Immediately when we got back from Bogota, we were praying over people at our altar. There was a woman healed of stage 4 cancer. The miracles just
Amen.
Started pouring, and we could tell you now hundreds, probably thousands of miracles. There's not a day that goes by that we do not see them at the church. And I would say our church looks pretty close to the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we contend for.
And victory is available in all areas of our life.
Amen.
Yes.
And what I love about Revive is there is a lot of resources that the both of you provide.
Yes.
The discipleship, the Heartbeat discipleship classes. You could talk about all this if you don't mind.
Sure.
That's all available to the body.
When you mentioned the first one about... No, I forgot the word you used, but we can be healed in our inner being. We don't have to carry depression or any of these types of things that weigh people down. But that's a start. And then I guess after a break, we can go into a couple of
Yeah, we're
going
to come up to a break. But there is this whole thing of kingdom living that that many people still don't understand.
Yeah, we should probably
Christians,
go into that.
I'm not talking about... You know, the lost certainly don't get it, but the Christians.
It's not that they just don't understand it, but at times it gets distorted to the point where we have the prosperity gospel.
Yes, that's
and
a whole
that's another. That's a distortion of what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And they don't even realize it. They fall into that. They fall from tolerance over into compromise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, speaking of falling, we're going to be falling into a break right now. Be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Welcome back. I get on a roll with, hey, when we come back on the break, and I'm here, the break is looming. But I wanted to get back again about issues of the church and government. We know, and many people still probably haven't checked this out, because I say this every chance I get. In 1607, Robert Hunt, the chaplain of the Puritan community that had come to America, and that's the original founding of America, was in the early 1600s, with these people leaving Britain for the sake of religious freedom, being sent by God. I mean, this was not arbitrary. You know, they came to America. God sent them, protected them, inspired them, and filled them with a call from the Spirit to come to this land and dedicate this nation that they founded to God. And on the shores of Cape Henry, now you can go on the internet and you can type in Robert Henry, Puritans, prayer on the shores of Cape Henry, planting of the cross, and the covenant. In the context of that prayer, that they made a covenant with God that was not just for them. It was a covenant that God intended this nation, no matter how big we got, to live that covenant out, both throughout our life, but then in these days. We're in the outskirts of the end times, that's how I say it. And that to answer the question that Jesus offered in the Gospel of John, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? God wants that question to be answered, yes. How is that going to happen? Well, God's going to do a lot of work, and he's doing a lot of work today. So here is this linkage then. Holy Spirit spoke to thee and led the founding fathers, mm-hmm. to create the nation that was founded in 1607, and with the understanding of the covenant that was made with God back then, to then to crystallize God's vision in the founding documents and the expressions of faith of these people that created the foundation of America that God intended. See, so you can say, well, before God made anything, however God's mind worked, at some point he said to himself, America is going to be founded in 1607, and that nation is going to be a great covenant nation along with Israel, the only other nation in the history of America, or in the history of the world, that has a covenant with God. And I'm going to use them throughout their history, but especially in the last days, to bring the gospel to the world. And that's the content when you read Robert Henry's prayer. Mm-hmm. That's the covenant that was made to bring the gospel to the rest of the planet. Big vision then, and certainly big vision now. Now, the government has changed to some degree from when it was first founded. And there are many people who say, well, it's an old thing. Been around for 240 some years. It's time for a change. But let's talk about that attitude when it comes to God's will. And Pastor Todd, if you'd start with that.
You know, I think the vast majority of Americans have never just sat down and read the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
You cannot read that document and not realize that these were people saying, we are here to establish a country guided by God, guided by the Father.
Amen.
So they write out this constitution of set of guidelines and laws, which is really meant to limit the government, not meant to release them to control and for tyranny, but meant to limit that government. And if you read that in the context of what they are fleeing from, what's going on in England and what's going on with the governance over the church by the government, they come here and say, no, we want freedom. We want to operate freely. And the distortion that has happened since then is, I think the foundation was really derived from that letter of Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist about the separation of church and state. And so now everybody's kind of run rampant with that, that these two should be separate. We shouldn't have God and government. And the sad thing is that the churches have fallen for it. Yeah. The churches have fallen for not understanding that the wall of separation was to keep the government out of the church, not to keep the church out of the government.
Exactly.
These are God-believing people who said, hey, we need God in our government. Can you imagine any group of people who are pastors saying, what we want to make sure of is that we have no influence on the government? I can't imagine the Danbury Baptist writing a letter and saying, we want to make sure we don't have any influence on the government. No, what they were saying is the government can't come in and say, we have a pandemic, you have to close your doors and not meet.
Exactly. That's what they
were going after, saying you can't come in and tell us. So Congress shall make no law that inhibits the free exercise of the church.
Amen.
And so that separation of church and state theme has just run through our school systems, that we have to get God out of the schools. And praise God for places like Louisiana and Tennessee and Oklahoma that are saying enough, enough of this separation thing. It was never meant. It was a one-way street to keep the government out of the church, not to keep the church out of the government. And sadly enough, and I don't mean to rant here, I really don't, we have pastors who are now afraid to go ahead and stand on the Bible. What they're doing, they're saying, I don't want to get into politics for these two reasons. One is I'm afraid it'll affect my 501c3. That's ridiculous. We can talk about that. Number two has been, well, I have both Democrats and Republicans in my church, and I don't want to offend somebody. Listen, the Bible is offensive. You preach the Bible and let the R's and D's fall where they might. But what we have to do in our pastoral staffs around this country is say, can we stop worrying about politics and start worrying about the scripture?
Amen. Start worrying about
the things of God. Preach the things of God, and everyone will know how to vote.
And let the chips fall where they may.
There you go.
That's it.
And
take the consequences.
Speak openly from as the Spirit leads you to the leaders, elected leaders. This is supposed to be from Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, the phrase, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people is what God intended. And now if you look at, you know, the core is still there, but it's not being practiced. And government wants to get bigger and bigger. Certain people want it to get, well, why? Because of power issues.
It's
totally opposed to God's will. And to those, you know, people love to say, that was then, this is now. I say, look, there are some things that were then that are appropriate for now. And when God's in it, now the word, I love the word immutable. You know, I learned it in seminary. And, you know, but it means unchangeable. So our immutable God who doesn't change, because he was perfect. He is perfect, always will be, always has been. His will is perfect. You know, perfect God would not have an imperfect will, and he would not play out an imperfect will, right?
You know, one of the issues I think people don't realize is that we God gave us time for our convenience because we're human beings. We're only here for a short time. He doesn't see time. He sees us from the beginning to the end as a continuum. And we get so wrapped around the axle with, like you said, people said, that was then, this is now. Not to God.
It's all the same.
It's all now.
Jesus died yesterday, as far as God's concerned.
I think a lot of it comes to what we were talking about earlier of knowing your power and authority that you have through Christ. And I believe that the churches have, and the people in churches have been conditioned to believe that they're powerless to change anything. And so when you say, like, government, everybody wants to run. They don't want to talk about it because they believe it's divisive. But the truth is it's not government and it's not politics. It's spiritual. This is a spiritual issue we're dealing with. So we must see it as spiritual and then approach it in the spiritual way, which God has already given us the tools to do, which is to take authority over it.
Amen.
Amen.
So I believe it's just teaching, enlightening, and realizing, like you said, Anne, the teaching, the training, the discipleship, who we are in Christ, what we have, what's been given to us, how to use these tools.
Had the church not lost that vision, we wouldn't be needing to repent of abortion, of gay marriage, of the whole LGBTQ mm-hmm. plus, whatever many letters or numbers, follows that, all those issues, the strain and the attack on our culture mm-hmm. and all of this. These are all moral issues. They're not political issues.
Absolutely.
But they've been politicized.
Yeah. And one reason I believe people have run from the church is because they did not see the kingdom demonstrated.
Yes. Mm.
So they went running to the world looking for yep. these false powers, because you will see yes. the enemy demonstrate things, but they're not yes. God things. Gods are much more, right. they're bigger, they're higher. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I think when the church demonstrates the kingdom, people will run back into the church.
I'm with you on that. My heart beats powerfully when you just said that.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely true. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it just to continue the line of thinking, we've gotten to the place in our society now where society is telling the church how Jesus believes.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Wow, you know, yes. When the secular world is telling the church that Jesus wouldn't be against things, he would only be loving, he would be for
right,
it.
Yeah.
We've taken this term called tolerance and mm-hmm. made Jesus mm-hmm. accept everything.
Yes.
But if you go into Scripture, right. Jesus doesn't accept everything. He calls things out and says, this is wrong, this is bad mm-hmm. for you, this will hurt you, and I want it stopped.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And yet the Christians are now backing off, saying, well, we can't really speak against that because we need to be loving, tolerant people. No, we don't. We need to speak the truth in love.
Amen.
That's a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, this is what Jesus said and this is what Jesus believes, but I'm going to deliver it to you in a way that you can accept it.
Amen. Jan?
And they don't know the truth and the word, and they're looking to the media, and look at how mm-hmm. the media has influenced so many people over so many things. We're seeing it playing out. So people must get back into their word and see what the truth is.
Yes.
They don't know.
How many Christians are now asking AI what the Bible says?
I know, that's like a big thing now.
Oh, Lord.
It is.
Yeah. And they will get exactly what the society wants them to hear.
Yeah. That's so horrible. Mm-hmm. That one preacher that did the AI preaching.
I don't know about that.
We're not too long away from a break. So, but I, at this point, you know, and I was going to say, we have nobody to answer phones today. Some of you may have wanted to call, and we're not going to be able to do that today. But if, you know, I can tell you this, if you have a question, we have about 18 minutes left in the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to type your question, and if you want to email WCNO@WCNO.com, I'll bring up the computer here in the studio, and I can read your question. Use your first name, and see if somebody, if you want to do that. Anyway, you got to do it right now though. WCNO@WCNO.com, and I'm going to set up the computer so we can do that. And yeah, if you get a question come in, we'll ask it on the air. So while I'm setting up the computer, we've got a couple of minutes.
So just since we're giving out information, you can reach Revive Church at info@reviveusnow.com. Our website is reviveusnow.com. Mm-hmm. We have services on Saturday night at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Those are identical services. So if you come on a weekend, you're welcome to come to either one. We welcome you there, and I think if I could mm-hmm. say this in a way that Christians would understand it, and I'm not saying I'm only inviting Christians, but I'm helping the Christians understand who we are. Mm-hmm. We are a charismatic church that is word-based.
Yes.
That's the best way to say mm-hmm. it as far as I know, and what I mean by that is when you come in, don't expect to come to crazy land,
mm-hmm.
But don't expect to come mm-hmm. to non-power land.
Yeah. Yes, it's a great mixture
I like
of both.
I put it that way.
It is, and we said earlier, it's the first century, second Acts, mm-hmm. Acts second Acts church in the 21st century.
There you go. Yeah.
And give again contact information, website and phone numbers.
It's info@reviveusnow.com. And the website is reviveusnow.com. And honestly, I haven't called our church in 10 years. So there's an 800 number.
It's on the website.
804-9852, I believe.
We also have a Facebook page. And I want to mention that every 4th of July, our service, Massey Campos, who is a pastor at our church, and he has a ministry called Self Evident as well, he speaks on the Constitution and what mm-hmm. our country was founded on. It's so educational.
Mm-hmm.
Go
mm-hmm.
back and listen to the message from this weekend, Saturday night or Sunday morning. So powerful. Get yourself educated.
Amen.
We're not a denomination. We want to look like a biblical church, the book of Acts.
Right. But Amen. Be prepared, because we're not afraid to get involved in government.
Amen. Amen.
I love
that's
that.
Powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. When we get back, maybe pick up on that thread a little bit and see where the Spirit would develop it.
All right.
Yep.
Christ is my firm foundation.
Through your vote no on 4 on Election Day, you can prevent abortion from becoming the law of the land in Florida. Amendment 4 is not what it seems and way too extreme. Vote no and prevent the reversal of all the preborn life-saving progress of 35 years. Go to TooExtremeForFlorida.com for more information and please vote no on 4.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Good.
Can't help but bounce to the music, you know. Welcome back to the Front Lines, our last segment before we have to close. Live with Pastor Todd and Jan Mozingo from the Revive Church. Mm-hmm. Revive Church. And really, I'm excited that you're able to come here. And, you know, just to say, it's the attitude of WCNO that we're lifting up the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, and some pastors will say, well, when you do that, you know, you encourage people to go and find out that their church, what's going on, and donate and all this stuff. And, you know, but don't you feel people live off donations too? And point is, you know, yes, we're listener funded primarily. About 85% of our income is from listener. We do fundraisers twice a year. But, you know, when you're in the body of Christ, you can't fail to point out what God is doing here, what God is doing there, and that's the vision we have. And that's why I'm delighted when I bring pastors in all the time. They talk about what God is doing in their church, how people can get in touch with them. And especially today, because in our culture is in a great state of flux. And so particularly people who are between churches, you know, and God's going to tell you if you want to look up one church or another, but when we feature a church, God may want you to check them out. And that's why we're asking for contact information and what God is doing at your location. There's a theme we were just developing before we went on the break, Pastor Todd.
Yeah, we're talking a little bit about maybe churches and their involvement in government. Is it right? Is it wrong? Mm-hmm. Should they not? Because it's a divide inside the church that people believe that, hey, we should not be involved in government at all. We should just be sharing the gospel and moving forward. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, Massey Campos was self-evident, made an amazing point that I think was kind of stunning. He said, if you look in Scripture, the majority of the God-following people in Scripture were not persecuted because they were worshiping God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were persecuting because they would not worship the government.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen.
Right.
If
you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, wasn't because they were standing up for God. It's because they wouldn't bow to Nebuchadnezzar. If you look at Daniel and the lion's den, it wasn't because he was praying. It was because he would not bow to King Darius.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you look at even Peter and Paul in the New Testament and their arrest, it was because they were causing dissension in the city, not because they were following Christ. And so quite often what we look at is where has our government gone in your lifespan? Just where has it gone in the church? Mm-hmm. Where has it gone? Where has the morality of the country gone in your lifespan? Mm-hmm. And then look at what's been the role of the church in that. And as the role of the church decreases, the morality level of the country decreases.
Yes.
And so we can either choose to say enough, it's time for us to stand up for God, or we can continue to expect the decay.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I know in some cases, and I've spoken to people that have great fear in their hearts about doing that. They sort of want to resonate with that truth. And yet when they think of themselves standing up and speaking to, you want to say, use that phrase, power, is speaking truth to power and all that, especially God's truth to power, they get a little antsy about that, anxious. But don't we know, what has God promised to his people if they're willing to do his will. What does he promise to do for them?
Never leave you, never forsake you.
Amen.
Amen.
And I was on this station here, I think about 2 years ago, and we talked directly about why are more pastors not being arrested?
Yeah. Mm.
Why are they not standing up for the truth of God? Even if I mean, look at the great leaders of our faith in the New Testament. They were in and out of jail.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
why?
Right.
Because they stood up and they stood against the things that were going on. One of the points that he made yesterday that I thought was brilliant was in the days of Caesar Augustus in the first century, they had a coin that said Augustus is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And in that there was a statement that said there is no other salvation than that found in Caesar Augustus.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go back to the scripture that was written where he says, no, there is no other Lord than Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Give unto Caesar what's Caesar. And you realize it's in the context of debating the government, of saying, no, we're not gonna bow to Caesar, we're gonna bow to Jesus Christ. And so I think in our day, we believe that if we challenge the government, we've somehow become un-Christian.
Yes.
And that's not right.
Not right
when the government is doing ungodly things.
That's right.
Yes. Very, very simple local application. I'm really tired of being told that Christians want to ban books in school. We have never allowed pornography with our children.
Yeah. Right.
And when we find it, we say we need that out of our children's view, and we take it. We're not banning a book. We're simply removing it from the view of a child. And so that's one of those things where the Christians go to the school board meetings, and they say, this is not what children should be reading. We want that out of the schools.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
An example of that is when they then take those books and try to read them at the school board meetings, and they have to shut up the mics because it's so bad.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes.
But they want it in the schools.
You can't use that kind of language here.
No.
Then don't use it in the school.
Don't use it in the
classroom. And I don't know what happened that made Christians afraid to go and say, this is not right. My kid goes to a public school, and I don't want them having access to this material.
That's right.
That's godly to stand up and say that.
Absolutely godly.
It is.
Another thing, and I don't know if it's appropriate to bring up, but this Amendment 4.
Yes.
Please bring it up.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's going to be
the last break, we ran a spot against Amendment 4.
Good.
But please talk to it.
Okay. Yeah. It's very important because it's so vague. These people have been out on the streets for the last year in front of Walmarts getting signatures to get it on the ballot, but it just says basically anybody, any medical provider can give anybody, you know, an abortion, basically. It's so vague. It could be, you know, somebody that gets their degree online for $19.95 or a massage therapist or you know, school. But it also says, you know, it says something about
viability of life.
Well, up to viability. So it's up to birth. It leaves it open for up to birth, but also it does not have any requirement to get permission from the parents. So this would be the only surgery that a child would be allowed to have in the state of Florida without the parents' permission.
Yep.
Can you imagine your child going out and going through that kind of trauma and you not knowing and being able to help them through it? It's so deceptive. But that's what the enemy's doing and twisting, and people will not know, and they may be vote for it, thinking, oh, yes, of course we want to help women. It's not helping women. It's killing babies.
Yep.
It's killing babies.
So we have to vote
against God. We have to vote no on Amendment 4.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everybody I've met that's pro-abortion has already been born.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yep. That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I often say, and I'm living proof that, you know, if mother is a believer and someone recommends abortion because of health issues and she says no, then that child can live. And God took care of my mother's medical issues until I was born full term. And then they, once she healed of that, then they did the surgery. But I'm 74 years old plus.
Wow.
Yeah, again, not as old as my venerable brother over here, but, you know.
Keep rubbing it in.
I'm sorry. But you know, the thing is that the reason I'm alive today is because my mother was a follower of Jesus Christ, and she believed his word, and she believed that he would take care of her, and he did. And so that challenges a lot of the exceptions, you know, that some people say, well, for the health of the mother or whatever. And I'm not a fan of, believe me, rape is demonic. But if you have a child of rape, that God has something for that child to do. God has a plan for that child. And if you want to adopt them out at whatever, but please do not, you know, kill that child because of how that child came about. It's just...
I think the bigger issue in that particular statement is that rape, incest, and the health of the mother are very valid concerns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But they are not the majority of abortions.
No.
Yeah. No, no. It's a very tiny percentage.
So because of this small percentage, we're making a rule that is putting an end to the life of children. When we have people out there, Jan and I know many couples who would love to adopt children.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But instead, parents are making a decision to end the life of
them. The majority of the decisions are elective. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, that was because back, you know, the where was the church back in 1973? Or prior to that, you know, when the our legislators and the Supreme Court, you know, all that came to the Supreme Court and they ruled, you know, Roe v. Wade and all that. Thank God it was 50 years later it was overturned.
Back in 73, the church was where it is today in Laodicea. Yeah.
Very quietly.
But now keeping in mind, it has been overturned, Roe v. Wade has, but that isn't anything to more than brought it back to the states.
Brought it back to the states.
So the decisions are still there to be made.
And that's why we have this issue of Amendment 4.
Yep.
To put that into our Constitution, the heart
it will change
of Florida.
The Constitution.
They're editing the Constitution.
Of Florida government.
You have to edit the Constitution to do
and,
that.
Yeah, folks that are out there listening, this state may be a very conservative state, but I'm telling you, from the things I've seen going on in the polls I've read, there's a good chance that Amendment 4 can go through. Well, this is going to be a very tight fight. We have got to get up. You know, Edward Everett Hale, a secular man, once said, "I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. I will not fail to do that which I can do." Get up and make noise, folks. We've got to stop this murder.
Right. And if you haven't registered to vote, July 22nd is the registration deadline to actually register. And then on November 4th, to vote no on Amendment 4.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Christians, go out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
We have like 3.5 minutes left, and it goes by so quickly. Mm-hmm. But I would love, Pastor, if you would pray.
Certainly.
God's put a prayer on your heart. Please offer that before we close.
You got it. Father God, I thank you for your love.
Yes.
I thank you, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your guidance and your empowerment.
Mm.
But we come to you today because our nation, our nation needs God. We need you, Father. We need you to breathe over this country and wake up the believer to stand strong against what the enemy is doing. God, in the name of Jesus, I declare that Christians will unite and they will rise up and they will put you first and foremost in this country.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I declare that abortions will cease.
Amen.
Yes.
And that the government will have as much concern about finding routes for adoption as they had for abortion.
Yes.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, I declare that we will be a country that protects our children in schools, that we will rise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord so that they will know what morality is. They will know how to walk in your ways. In the name of Jesus, I just ask for every church in this country to say enough is enough, and it's time for us to get involved and seek our God and repent of our ways and walk in a holiness and a purity and a maturity that we haven't in years and years and years.
Yes.
I thank you, God, that you're stirring the hearts of this. I thank you for Louisiana. I thank you for Oklahoma. I thank you for Tennessee. Jesus. And I thank you that every other governor will be challenged to follow in their footsteps. Mm-hmm. That they will be challenged to make a decision. Am I going to stand up for God as the leader of this state, or am I going to let it go to the enemy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the name of Jesus, God, we are yours.
Yes.
We are your remnant. We are here. We are willing. We are ready. We are wanting. Inspire us. Rise us up. Bring us unity.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Thank you.
Well, Pastor Todd and Jan, thank you for, please come back.
Absolutely.
Please be, God's going to open a door. Walk through it. We'll be here, open arms.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to The Front Line. We're now going to be going eventually to Chuck Swindoll.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.